Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Top of hour number two. Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Sean Farnham, college basketball broadcaster for ESPN, a former player at UCLA, and he joins us here as we are on the eves of the NCAA tournament. Sean, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is the best time of year just to sit back, relax, and watch some hoop. And fortunate enough, I think I'm going to do what most of the country is doing. I just get paid to do it this week. So it gets it even a little bit better for me.
Sean, let's ask you this first and foremost. You played in the NCAA tournament at UCLA. Take us back to those memories. What's it like being a part of March Madness from the inside?
It's incredible. And every step of the way, it just gets better and better. I remember my first game was in the Palace of Auburn Hills. We won 109-75 over Charleston Southern. It was on a very good UCLA team that was a two seed that season. And we ended up playing so well. Obviously, at that time, I was very limited in my minutes. I ended up getting the final 4 minutes of the game. I had 6 points, two rebounds, two steals, and an assist in those 4 minutes. And it's just, to score your first basket in the NCAA tournament, it's a dream. I mean, it's what you pretend to do in the backyard as a kid, at least that's what I did, was pretend to be in the NCAA tournament and having an opportunity to win in advance. And that year, we ended up going to the Elite Eight, and then to be able to finish my career starting every NCAA tournament game for UCLA my final 2 years was incredible. To represent that school in the NCAA tournament as a starter and hear your name called in front of 30,000 people at the Minneapolis Metrodome at the time, I mean, it's really hard to put into words unless you've experienced it. But all I can tell you is for each one of these kids, this is what they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. They're going to remember the loss. I got bumped in the first round my junior year. We lost, and we ended up being Baron Davis's final game at UCLA, and it still bothers me. It still hurts. There's a pain factor when I think about it, and yet there's also the joys of knowing you got that second weekend and got to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight.
Now, how did you get into broadcasting? Because you actually started out coaching. You were on the staff at Pepperdine there and then elected to not continue with coaching. Why?
Well, I decided not to continue coaching because my head coach took a job at St. Bonaventure, and I had just gotten engaged, and my fiance had 2 more years left in college at UCLA. So I knew that if I flew across the country and was like, okay, hey, you enjoy the rest of your college, I'm going to go fly across the country and coach, that probably wouldn't have worked out so well. And so I made a life decision to be with my wife, and that's worked out well. So 16 years in, we're still going well, just in case you want that update. What I did when I was at UCLA is I was doing some broadcasting stuff for free because we think it paid as NCAA athletes for Fox Sports West. And so after I was done coaching for that year, I called them back up and said, hey, look, I did a bunch of stuff for you guys, and I'd love to try to see if I can make a career out of this thing. And it ended up working out really, really well. But, it wasn't like I started covering college basketball. I did high school football. I did water polo. I did swimming. I did skydiving competitions. and you just start working your way up. And the next thing you know, I'm doing college basketball games. It's my passion, doing sideline reporting for the Lakers, the Clippers, the Dodgers, the Angels out in Los Angeles. And it just started to kind of to build from there. But for any young broadcasters out there that's going to get in the business, great advice that I got very early on. When they ask you, hey, are you available to do this? Usually the answer should be yes, 99% of the time. And then worry about not knowing things and learning it as quickly as you can. And take that time and just inundate yourself with preparation.
Sean Farnham, college basketball broadcaster, works for ESPN, has worked for CBS also in the past, and he's a former player at UCLA, and he's here with us inside the huddle. What do you think of the tournament field as a whole? The question I always wrestle with is, well, would I rather see St. Mary's and Middle Tennessee State or the ninth team from the ACC? What do you think about the breakdown in the at-large selection?
You'd like to see the ninth team in the ACC. Let me answer that question for you so that you don't have to guess anymore, okay? Look at St. Mary's, I love St. Mary's, and I love Randy Bennett. It's from my hometown, basically. But when your non-conference strength of schedule is 2-11, and you returned a 29-win team this year, and you didn't play really one game that challenged yourself in the non-conference, and then you lose to Gonzaga at home, you lose to San Francisco on the road, you lose to BYU, you don't win the WCC regular season or conference championship. When you're in the WCC, if you don't win either one, you're probably not going to the NCAA tournament unless you schedule up. And Randy Bennett didn't schedule up. So, guess what? You're out. Middle Tennessee State, great team. Could they win a game in the tournament? Sure. Could St. Mary's win a game in the tournament? Yeah, they could. But the fact of the matter is, Look at Middle Tennessee, 11th best non-conference strength of schedule. Awesome. Way to go. But you didn't beat anybody. You were 7-4, and all four of those losses are the teams that made your schedule the 11th best in the non-conference. So it's about who you play, yes, but it's also about who you beat. And for me, that's where those teams come up short. If you're looking at teams that I would have a problem with not being in the field, it'd be Notre Dame. Without Bonzi Colson, without Farrell, they went into the Carrier Dome and actually beat Syracuse, the team that's in the field. Okay, so now they get Bonzi Colson back. Farrell's obviously back. They were an NCAA tournament team with Bonzi. They would be an NCAA tournament team now that he's returned. So I think that they should have given more consideration to that. I also think they could have given more consideration to Oklahoma State. And obviously with their sweep of Kansas, their sweep of Oklahoma, they're winning on the road against West Virginia. I know their non-conference strength and schedule wasn't great, but look at what they were able to accomplish and some of the quality things they got in conference play. I think that's what stood out to me.
Sean, as people fill out their brackets, what's the kind of the recipe you look for in an upset? If you're looking for a team that can pull an upset, what are the qualities in that team you're looking for?
I think you have to be good defensively, right? You cannot be a bad defensive team and pull off an upset. It's absolutely impossible. And so what I look at is I look at teams like Stephen F. Austin. Stephen F. Austin forces 20 turnovers per game. They lead the nation in percentage of turnovers. They also do an outstanding job of scoring points off of turnovers. And to me, that's a team that you got to keep an eye on against Texas Tech. And then you look at other teams that are out there. San Diego State right now, they're back to being healthy. Trey Kell is back. They are playing high-level defense. The Aztecs have the availability to make a move.
Sean, up here, people bummed UVM not heading to the NCAA tournament, losing in the America East Final to UMBC. What do you say to people who say that we shouldn't have conference tournaments at the low major level and just send the regular season champ like the Ivy League used to do?
Well, they'd be sending their best team, but then you'd be losing money. And for a lot of those conferences, you need these tournaments, you need these sponsorship deals in place to help fund other athletic programs. And also to bring additional revenue in so that you can try to compete at a higher level. So I understand why they do it. But a lot of cases when you have these upsets at the non-power conferences, you're going to have some teams that get in that you're going to scratch your head and say, uh-oh, that wasn't our best team. We're not actually sending our best team to the dance this year.
Now, fans here disappointed a little bit that UVM's playing in the NIT and they're playing Middle Tennessee State tonight. I think this team should be celebrated for what they did the last 2 years. How should we be viewing the NIT tonight as it relates to Vermont?
I think when you look at Vermont, I think to take away the letters, whether it's a four-letter tournament or a three-letter tournament, and look at the quality of basketball that's being played. Too often we associate success simply based on whether or not you're playing in a tournament and the postseason, and are you playing in the right tournament in the postseason? I think when you look at Vermont, they've been a class program that has continued to sustain excellence and success, and it should be celebrated. These players should be celebrated. Their discipline, and trust me, is greater than any fans.
Sean, we'll
any fan that's sitting around go and say, hey, we didn't make the NCAA tournament. Relax. Those guys are hurting still.
Sean, we'll get you out of here on this. Some people saying that UVM should try to move up conferences and get out of a one bid league. And I say again, they shouldn't do that. They should work on dominating the America East first for a period of time and make some noise in the tournament. What at all does it entail moving up a league? Do all sports have to move up a league? I mean, how difficult and unrealistic is it?
No, you can do it. You can do it individually. There's been teams that have gone with just okay, our basketball team is going to move, but the rest of our teams are going to stay. That's part of the negotiation period that has to go through with athletic directors. And there's a percentage of money that is exchanged for conferences that would be limited and changed a little bit if you made that move with just a singular sport.
Sean Farnham, college basketball broadcaster, ESPN, former player, UCLA. Sean, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the tournament.
All right, will do, guys. Have a great day.